The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Happy Conspiracy Theory Thursday post-election version. Join in at 770-563-3770-KMED. Of course, now that President Trump will be coming into the Oval Office next year, does that mean all the conspiracies are gone and we can go back? No? You don't think so? Well, share yours if you could, and we can noodle around with that, especially the first hour of the program. Greg Roberts is actually going to be joining me for the Outdoor Report today. I think it's because he's heading out hunting, and he wants to get that buck. I don't know if it's a great day to do it. We'll find out, because the weather's going to be actually pretty nice the next couple of days. Usually they want the rain of maybe Sunday or Monday when it's supposed to be coming, but we'll kick it around with him. Dr. Carol Lieberman, M.D., will be joining me, America's psychiatrist, and there are definitely some psychiatric breaks going on out there, which what happened after the election the other day. And Diana Anderson, she's putting on another event Friday. Forget it where it's going to be. She's going to be coming in studio. We're going to be talking about it, because even though the election nationally went in a pretty good direction for Republican and conservative values, the state of Oregon is still warring against we the people with their climate-friendly, equitable communities and various other things. In other words, we have to, you know, the fight here locally is still going on. And Diana continues to expose the, well, the communist underpinnings, essentially the Marxist underpinnings of the Vision 2040 process in the city of Medford and the climate-friendly, equitable communities and all of the laydowns. And with the incoming mayor and city council, new people on the city council, it's something to be talking with these people about. How much of it can be resisted, I don't know, but Diana's going to join me, talk about it. So, yesterday, after I got done with all the deals at the radio station, had about 3-4 hours sleep yesterday, feeling pretty good. Maybe you were feeling pretty good, too, but I was kind of tired. And then, well, my mom called me the other day, election night. Her old television finally blew out after almost 40 years. Almost 40 years. It was this this RCA CRT deal. And we gave it to her. It was back on Second Marriage. We're talking a television that was 4 or 5 years old when my wife, who was mother of my daughter Sarah, ended up giving it to her at that time, and she had had it for a few years before we got married. Right, so this old CRT RCA, probably 18-inch, 20-something-inch, or whatever it is, has been soldiering on in my mother's living room for decades. And every now and then I keep saying, "Mom, you know what? Let me get you an LED television." Oh no, it's fine. It works. As long as this works, I'm actually okay with it. You know, you get used to what you get used to, and besides, you know, it worked, and that's fine. And it finally blew out, and yeah, I put another television in there. You know, thank you, Bi-Mart. You know, got that taken care of, and everything's fine. But I guess the television could not take the election coverage it finally let loose during the election coverage. It's pretty funny when you think about that. But it got me thinking about what is the oldest – one question I'd pose to you, and it's not a Conspiracy Theory Thursday question, but what is the oldest, maybe obsolete, electronic device or appliance that you're using today in spite of the fact that there are much newer things available? What's the oldest one that you're still using in a daily basis? Anybody else with a 40-year-old television they're still using? Most people got rid of the CRTs way back when they started doing the big recycling. I don't know what I'm going to do with this television either. You can't throw it in the trash because that would break the law in Oregon, and I would be an environmentalist thought crimer of some sort and real crimer type thing. So I'm going to have to figure out what to do. It's sitting in the back seat of the PT. But the thing is, I'm looking at the date code on it, 1987, and go, whoa, almost made it, 37 years. 37 years of Fox News and everything else, you know, grinding out of that. There you go, Mom. That's one topic we can do this morning. After I got done putting the television in, though, then the really interesting stuff happened. I was walking out of the apartment complex over in East Medford, where my mom lives, over by Prov, and a woman drove into the complex. I don't think that she was a resident, but I don't think so. I don't think she was in there as a resident, maybe delivering to someone because she didn't park in a parking space, or maybe I took her parking space. You know, the, some of the senior citizens, you know, if you, it's open parking, but as far as they're concerned, they have their parking spaces if you've ever been in those kind of complexes. But anyway, I'm walking out and I'm dumping the TV in the back of the PT. And I look, I spy this woman, she pulls in and she looks at me and she just gives me the dirtiest, nastiest look, like I was the lowest form of life on the planet. And then she walked inside the complex, maybe to visit someone or make a delivery. I don't know. It was an older Buick, maybe about 10, 15 year old Buick. And it had a sticker, and I walked up to the car and I took a picture of it. I put it up on Facebook last night. I took a picture of the sticker, and it said, "Trump is a fraud." What is it? It's a fraud and a failure. Trump is a fraud and a failure in really angry fonts. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, okay, now I know what's going on with you. You're having a really, really bad day. Really bad day. And maybe she recognized me. I don't know. Sometimes I go around and I get kind of recognized. Oh yeah, you're that that right wing wacko talk show host, you know, in the liberal circles, that thing, you know, spreading all of that misinformation and lies. That's normally what I'll hear from that sort of stuff. But maybe she was one of those things. Maybe she was just having a bad day. And the thing is, though, there's been a lot of having a bad day going on. And Dr. Carol Lieberman's going to talk about that, but you know, here's just a few of the examples of people just going completely unhinged about the defeat of Kamala Harris. I don't even know if it's as much about the election of Donald Trump or the defeat of their avatar. I don't know.
I'm sorry. No, 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 no. Why, why?
Wow.
Why? Do you really hate me that bad?
I'm going to have to save this one.
Why? Why? Do you really hate me that bad?
Yeah, and she's pounding her steering wheel. A lot of these liberal women are doing, they like to do this, these TikTok drops, I guess, while they're driving for some reason. So she, that's one. There were a lot of tears. That she was an angry one. Then there are the tears, too.
We may not have rights tomorrow, so I'm going to bed with the last bit of dignity that I have left.
So tomorrow we may not have any rights, so I'm going to bed with the last shred of dignity I have left. Wow.
But we fought a good fight, and if it turns out that, you know, shit flips, you know, great, hell yeah, but right now I'm just not... I can't deal with this right now.
Yeah. I don't know if social media is a good thing for people in these kind of situations. Here's another one. I like this one. This is about... Now, this is real. I see this kind of stuff happening all the time. I've even had this happen in my own family.
I hate to be the person that gets on here and cries. But this could... This could break me and my parents apart because they just don't understand what they voted for and, like, what it means and the bigotry and hatred that they stand behind and how I, like, am trying to be a good person. I'm not Catholic like they are, which is ironic because religion's supposed to make you love.
I loved that one. Religion's supposed to make you love. Yeah, in religion, you're also supposed to fight sin. You kind of forgot that part about religion. You're not supposed to be okay with sin, but I digress.
But I could see it, like, breaking me and my parents apart because they just don't get it, and they don't get that they voted for someone who's going to make my friends' lives hell. My life's okay. I'm a white woman, but my friends are not going to be okay.
Wasn't that interesting? My life's going to be okay because I'm a white woman, but my friends are not. Hey, listen. That white liberal woman apparently has not noticed that, you know, the tranny guys have been eliminating her. You know, white women aren't, what? White women with privilege? Sorry, ain't happening. And not in the woke world. You're just another person to make fun of, I suppose. You can't be woke enough for them. But yeah, I'm not surprised about that. And then, though, probably the biggest psychotic break of all was on Fox. I was watching this a little bit, and this story came up.
Now, New York Attorney Letitia James is speaking here about how her office is going to respond to a Trump presidency. Let's listen in for a moment.
And with other Democratic AGs across this country to make sure that we would be ready to respond to any attempt to roll back our rights. So here we are. We've studied their platforms. We've identified certain possibilities, fact patterns. We've created contingency plans. So no matter what the next administration throws at us, we're ready. We're ready to respond to their attacks. We're ready to respond to any attempts to cut or eliminate any funding to the great state of New York, as the governor outlined.
Now, that one cracked me up in the first place, as if somehow the great state of New York has a right to federal tax dollars that people pay in. But, yeah, we'll continue. Yeah, she's
So despite what has happened on the national stage, we will continue to stand tall in the face of injustice, revenge, or retribution. Ooh. We will continue to protect and our most vulnerable and marginalized amongst us, because it is my sworn duty and responsibility to lead that fight, working with the governor of this great state, Kathy Hochul. This is not the time to be fearful, New York, but faithful and steadfast, knowing that I, as the Attorney General, along with my entire team, we are guardians of the law, and we are prepared, my friends, to fight back.
Ooh. Translation. I am a liberal, entitled woman with a law degree. Beware. Be very scared, Donald Trump. Something tells me in 2025 it's going to be game on, baby. We'll see. 770-5633. It's on your mind. We can talk about that. Anything else which is going on for Conspiracy Theory Thursday. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Lynn Barton here, Medicare advisor.
Hi, I'm Matt Stone, owner of Stone Heating and Air, and I'm on 106.3 KMED.
I'm sorry.
And we're sharing space with them on the planet. It's an interesting time. 770-5633. Let me talk with Don. Hello, Don. How are you doing this morning?
I'm thrilled. I'm glad to be here. And I made some money on the election. So.
Oh, you did? Did you do some betting? Some election betting?
Yes, just got off-track betting, yeah.
Oh, good for you.
And it seems to me the appliance, it would last longer than any other.
Oh, by the way, just so people know what you're talking about, I had mentioned that we finally got rid of my my mother's television, 38 years old, CRT, finally blew out on election night coverage. So, and so we had to get rid of that yesterday. But as far as the older appliance, go ahead.
Well, we hasten to point out the what is called unintended consequences.
Mm-hmm.
When we got rid of the CRTs, they just evolved out of existence. We could now ship four times more on a truck for the same fuel energy.
True.
And we are saving children's lives every year from the CRTs. And like a 19-inch CRT is 80 to 110 pounds, landing on children, killing them. So remember how many kids were killed TVs in the past?
You know, actually, I don't remember how many. Was that a thing? I never recall that.
Yes.
Really?
A statistic available.
So that television in my mother's living room then was actually a potential death weapon all these years, and I never thought about it
well,
that way.
Cats are real fast, so
that's true.
Damage.
Yeah.
So, but my oldest appliance, I have a volt ohmmeter, VOM, that is analog, and you can use it in any light, unlike the silly digitals we have, and it has a big sweep. And there are things you can do with an analog tool that you can't do with a digital. You can watch how voltage has climbed or how...
Rather than waiting for the display to update on a digital volt ohmmeter, right?
Oh, yeah, there's always a lag with a digital.
That's
so
right.
Consequently, it takes a D cell battery every 8 years because off is off. There is no storage in it.
I love that. Off is off. You're absolutely right. That's the thing that you sometimes forget about. All of these battery powered electronic devices like the volt ohmmeters and everything else. There's always parasitic losses because everything has a little software start on it rather than just a switch. Eh?
All the new cars pull up to 0.7 amps awake or asleep. And that's why my car has two batteries, one's dedicated to memory.
Oh, gotta love it. Thanks for the call, Don. And happy election wins for you. Tom's in Talent. Hello, Tom. How are you? Crazy times, huh?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And you just proved it with those recordings, I must say. What do you think is going to happen with all of Trump's legal woes?
Well, I invited a guy on from Landmark Legal to talk more about that. There are two thoughts about this. The conventional wisdom has him firing Jack Smith immediately upon going in. A lot of that goes in and gets wrapped up. But they can't make the state stuff go away. I guess it still hangs on, you know, out there. And I think that's why Letitia James, you know, that's kind of where she's going. You know.
Because it is my sworn duty and responsibility to lead that fight.
Yeah. So she's going to keep, I think she's going to keep at it. You know, it's nothing's going to stop that. The federal cases might be going away, though.
Yeah, it seems like these state cases, I don't see any reason for Trump why he would even bother going to the state to be, held in trial and sentencing on all this bogus.
Just come and get me. Come and get me, copper, if you really think you've got it, right?
And I don't think DeSantis would extradite him. He has no motivation. Why would he? He's on his side, so I don't know. It looks like one of those things that Trump could just ignore and things would be fine.
It's interesting the sense of entitlement from the liberal AG offices that you detect. It's it's much the same thing as, well, we're fighting for our democracy. And you know what? Our democracy, our administrative state, has really been their democracy, their administrative state, and they actually behave as if they're entitled to it, and that it's not something that they have to earn with the consent of the governed. Apparently, she's obviously one of those type of people.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of black white thinking, no shades of gray, and Trump is either this evil monster and in their eyes there's no room for any degree in that. He's just plain flat out Hitler.
The grand golem of greatness, right?
I'm a little bit mystified why there's such a I guess I can't be too mystified. I mean, the people who received over and over again from the mainstream media, just what a terrible person Trump is.
Well, listen to that. Tom, going back into, let's just go back to this this one young woman who was talking about. Let me see if I can pull her bite up here.
We may not have rights tomorrow.
She actually believed what MSNBC and others have been telling her, that we may not have rights tomorrow.
You know, and it's really a remarkable transition or a remarkable awakening that obviously the majority of the people have finally stopped believing in the mainstream media.
They still are.
I know. They still are, but it's a minority now.
I don't know if it's a minority. There seem to be enough numbed to it, but I hope you're right. I hope you're right, because nothing has seemed to correct that market of ideas, I guess.
Well, but look at the vote. The people, basically anyone who voted for Trump, said to the media, you're full of BS. I don't believe your crap, and I'm voting for this person because what you're saying is complete lies and nonsense. And I think that's a remarkable trend. You know, it's like a wave of realization by majority people. Finally, maybe this country is actually on the road back to common sense.
From your lips. Thanks for the call, Tom. It's interesting what was going on with the yesterday and Tuesday night's election stories. I ended up tuning over to MSNBC and CNN for a little while, and what was interesting is that they were rather subdued that evening, election evening, and I think part of it was because they didn't have a set of talking points to match what was going on, what was actually happening, and the sweep, which was appearing to happen before them, and they were sort of numbed to it. You could see there was a subdued approach to it, and there weren't a set of talking points coming from the DNC to help them cope with it, so to speak. It was funny though, yesterday, Wednesday, as the meme or the narrative started to build about whose fault it was, right? And then they started turning the knives on people like George Clooney and the others that were involved in fomenting the coup against President Biden. In other words, implying that if President Biden had been there, that they would have won yesterday. So the finger pointing has started. It's interesting to kind of watch this. Now we have a civil war going on within the Democratic Party, too. And it's whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? Not mine. George Clooney. Yeah, maybe George Clooney. You know, George Clooney's been making all this money from his vodkas or whiskeys or various other things and the book deals. And, you know, it's all the ways that the deep state ends up rewarding the water carriers, whether it's book deals or big corporate deals end up being done. And you've got your chateau over in Lake Como and all the rest of it. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Maybe he's done. You're the one that actually pushed for Joe to be gone, and now you lost our democracy. It's your fault. I don't know. Good morning. It's Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Hi, who's this?
Yeah, good morning, Bill. This is Terry.
Terry, what's on your mind?
Don't forget what's waiting in the wings in January for when Trump actually gets into office. Is remember what got put on delay is that longshoreman strike. So they're going to use that just to start his whole presidency off.
Oh, that's right. It was just kind of a put on hold. What was delayed about that? There was like another deal that was going to come later on. I forgot the details.
Yeah, you know what? I don't recall, but I just recall in the back of my head that they were delaying that until January. Maybe they knew something where they wanted to get his, you know, his presidency off on the wrong track right at the beginning.
Happy New Year, President Trump. Of course, you know, the one thing I would say, though, if I think Trump would get pretty muscular on that, and he would break that down pretty quickly. I don't think he'd put up with that.
Well, hopefully, yeah, they start working on it right now and figuring out what's going on, and yeah, can get that done before he even gets in the office. So let's keep our fingers crossed.
All right, will do. Thank you, Terry. I'll grab one more call before
news
here. Yeah,
this is Minor Dave.
Yeah, Dave, what's going on?
Well, I just want to say is I was at Chevron gas station yesterday, and I never seen so many happy people that President Trump was elected.
Really?
Now, of course, I'm in a Republican area, and so I'm kind of in an echo chamber, but I didn't see anything but joy, joy, joy.
Oh, when I went over to my mom's apartment complex, like I said, there was the woman with her, you know, Trump is a failure and a fraud. He's like really, really angry. And she was looking at me as that if her looks could have killed, I wouldn't be here with you this morning. And I'm thinking there are a lot of people that are not having a good day, really.
No, I'm sure because I've seen those things you just played on YouTube yesterday. So, but you know, it's really sad because I've been there when my candidate didn't win.
And it's not fun.
And I didn't do any of that.
No. And this is where I think that social media has not necessarily been really healthy because people put their mental illness on display. That's a challenge. It really is.
Well, I think that they all need the doctor you got coming on to help them through their stress and their anxiety because that's what it is. And some... I know about high anxiety because I've had it, but they need help. They need kindness.
Yeah.
And then they need to go back to school. the School of Hard Knocks.
You know, I don't know. There's always a part of me. I don't know if this is the right soundbite. I've kept it up on my board here for a while, but what it is, I don't know if I would agree with a normal psychiatrist. We'll find out what Dr. Carol Lieberman has to say, but I'm thinking of it.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you? Is this how you turned out a Hollywood Pinocchio that cries like a woman? What can I do?
That's one of my favorite breaks with The Godfather and Johnny Fontaine. You know, is he a celebrity?
Yeah.
Because there were liberal men there with tears in their eyes, and I just wanted to pull that out. You can act like a man. Grab your testicles.
Well, that's why you go to the School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah, I guess so. Thanks, Miner Dave. 6:38. We'll catch up with Bill London in the KMED News Center. More of your calls here. And in all seriousness, even though it was a good story and it's continued to be a good story nationally, what might we do to start rebuilding the Republican Party in Jackson County? I think it has to be discussed because it's been, you contrast Jackson to Josephine County, what happened in this particular election, and I think we could make a few changes. Maybe we can discuss that a bit.
Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., the best roof.
Hardcastles, where the customer is king. You're hearing The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
644-770-5633, 770-KMED. A little bit of open phone time on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Some pretty good news out of other states when it comes to making criminals do time again, kind of this sort of thing. Colorado voters ended up scrapping bail for people charged with first-degree murder. 70% of the voters there, this in Epic Times this morning, are in favor of revoking the right to bail from people charged with first-degree murder. Apparently, that has been a thing in Colorado, and the George Soros type of attorney, not attorney generals, district attorneys have been causing trouble there. A state constitutional amendment revoked the right for people charged with first-degree murder to be eligible for bail, and that has passed now, 70%. Meanwhile, in California, they have approved Proposition 36, which will toughen penalties for theft and drug crimes, because essentially everything's just been a smash-and-grab society. And then people are going, oh, the Walgreens closed, along with everything else in the neighborhood. And, you know, when they put the toothpaste behind the counter in a locked cabinet, there's a real problem. And everybody knew that all he had to do was just walk in the store and steal less than $1,000, and no one would bother. No one even bothered calling the cops. We've had a little bit of that, too, here in Southern Oregon, not maybe to the same extent. I know my nephew used to work at a golf shop in Medford, and it got to the point where the bumdom would come in there and steal very expensive golf clubs and then just scoot out the door. Really expensive stuff. And I don't know if the store is still open. I don't think it is. I don't believe it is any longer. But it got to the point where they just stopped bothering calling Medford police after a while because nothing would happen. And you know what would happen is that the expensive golf clubs or whatever else that it was that they grab and run out the door with would be fenced to someone and make it out there through some kind of fencing some theft process and paying for drug addicts down on the greenway. Now, I know that they're claiming, I noticed there was an article in the Rogue Valley Times talking about they're claiming that we are having a huge reduction in illegal camps in Medford. And maybe that's true. Maybe a reduction in illegal camps. But what I have noticed, though, is an amazing jump. And maybe it's just my twisted way of looking at the view, or the world, rather. I'm seeing an amazing jump in the amount of zombie walkers around Medford as far as the homeless. Would that be a fair assessment? Are you seeing some of that, you know, going on? In which, okay, maybe they're not doing the campsite on the Greenway anyway or any longer, but they'll take their campsite, they'll make their campsite behind, well, I know one place that seems to be pretty popular is where the Chase Bank used to be in the Walmart by the Delta Waters Speedway in Medford. And you'll see the shopping carts back there. You know, people are not doing it on the Greenway any longer. They're finding private property at places that will not get patrolled to the same extent. I know that there's the shopping center, like the Walmart, not the Walmart, Bi-Mart rather, that Bi-Mart shopping center, corner of McAndrews and Biddle. And if you go behind, if you go behind all those stores, you see the zombie camps that are happening behind the trash cans. I saw a couple of guys dive in, and I think they were camping next to the big power transformers behind the trash cans. So I don't know. I don't think the problem has been solved, or I don't know if we're seeing less problem, or that we're just squeezing the toothpaste on the Greenway, the toothpaste tube, and the toothpaste is just oozing out into the area. Maybe we could talk about that if you have any observations. But we may have fewer illegal campsites, but we still have a lot of illegal camping going on in different ways. I think they're just going off into places where they can just kind of scurry and hide in the little cracks in the cracks between the sidewalks, so to speak. But anyway, that's another topic, and you can certainly join in if you see that. But I don't know. Maybe fewer on the Greenway, but they're just going elsewhere. I don't think they've gone away, at least not yet. What do you think? 770-563-3770 KMED. All right. Something I did want to broach is the Republican Party of Jackson County. I'd mentioned that in this particular election cycle, the Republican Party was missing in action in Jackson County. It has been kind of quiet, hasn't been doing a whole lot. Rumor has it there have been some challenges there financially and various other things, maybe had to do with some of the events that had been put on a little earlier in the year. I can't say. I don't have access to the books. But have it on good report that there are some people that are looking to reform this, and I think it's quite interesting because I don't think you can contrast it more between Jackson County and what happened in Josephine County. Josephine County, they've been a little controversial because they've started endorsing candidates and pre-selecting and working to get conservatives actually elected into office. And they had a sweep, and yet people were yelling about, you shouldn't be endorsing, isn't that the other? But I cannot argue with their effectiveness. Oh, my gosh, everybody they ran, they had elected in Josephine County. Every single one of them. They have cleans. They have wiped out the Grants Pass City Council of their liberal members. Gone. County Commission. They're three conservatives that are going to be on there. And something tells me that the recall John West thing is probably not going to go too far now either, because you're not going to have more liberal, pliable commissioners appointing a replacement if they were to somehow ridiculously recall them. Just my opinion, but saying it. They've been really effective in Josephine County. Jackson County, missing in action, all right? And I guess it's leadership. I don't know. I'm not here to point fingers or blame, but I think that the party needs rebuilt, and I'm hoping that people get together and do this. I really do. Current group's been in a bit of disarray, and I haven't been doing a lot with the party because it just wasn't making sense in Jackson County. And if we don't rebuild the Jackson County Republican Party, we're going to continue to see the Good Old Boys Network exclusively choosing our candidates. I don't like the idea the chamber pack ends up, doing the vast majority of it. Chamber of Commerce is not a conservative group. Hey, they endorsed Pam Marsh, okay? If the Republican Party of Jackson County doesn't get strengthened and fortified and start getting in the business of choosing candidates and fortifying and helping the best ones, as Josephine has, it's going to be a completely spent force. And that would be a shame, because if they don't, it's going to be the chamber exclusively doing it. Of course, they already control a lot of it right now because the Good Old Boy Network has lots of money and they dole it out to candidates that they like. But the chamber's agenda is not necessarily conservative. It's usually about getting taxpayers to pay for their tourist attractions or various other things. That's what the chamber likes, all right? That's just the chamber. That chamber's doing what chambers do, okay? you know, the Bill Thorndike type Republicans. All right. God bless him, but they're not conservative people as a rule. Okay. And if it's not the Chamber PAC doing it, then you have the Republican caucus in the state legislature. That would be Kim Wallen and the various people, the Vicki Iversons, those types. Those people end up choosing our candidates instead. And by the way, the caucus is not conservative. The caucus is, let's get a bunch of Republicans in here. We need more Republicans so we can help Democrats and reach across the aisle and be clubbed like a baby seal. And those Republicans that walked out, oh, they're horrible. And then they don't say anything against Measure 113, and then Measure 113 passes, and then they can get rid of the conservatives, you know, that kind of thing. That's sort of the way the caucus tends to work right now in the state legislature, especially in the House, in my opinion, all right? Now, if the Republican Party gets rebuilt, and I hope it does, there is a danger if they get to the point where they're like Josephine County and they end up doing more endorsements and have the PCPs vote and do this. Sometimes there are good conservatives that could be overlooked in particular situations. And I can think of back in the day when a very good county commissioner, Colleen Roberts, was first running for office. And, oh, was she underestimated by the crew. I know that the good old boy network of the Republican Party at that day in Southern Oregon, oh, that Baker out in Eagle Point, the Baker, yeah, there's nothing. And they would put their money against or with other candidates instead. So there's always that danger that the diamonds in the rough get overlooked. But still, overall, you know, you look at the difference in the way the Republican Party operates in Jackson County as contrasted with Josephine. Republican Party in Jackson County was all about we're going to close the clubhouse down, and then the Jackson County women, Republican women, said, "Hey, we have to have some place to have people come," and then they took over the office there for a little while. But the Republican Party has not been a force. It's just not been working. And so time for a rebuild. This is a good time because, I mean, it was okay for Republicans in Jackson County, but that was in spite of, not because of the Jackson County Republican Party. Because I don't think they had much to do with it. And I would dare say, and this is just an opinion of mine, just an opinion, take it for what it's worth, that what happened in Phoenix with the takeover of the commie left came because they were very well organized and the Republican Party was not really able to or willing or did not have the resources to help Terry Baker and the other people that would have been more sensible. So that's just one of my opinions this morning of many, and I'm happy to take yours. 770-5633, you're on the Bill Meyer Show.
106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Meyer Show.
Marie's here. Hello, Marie. You had a problem at the DMV. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Happy.
I was there taking care of some business yesterday, late afternoon. I'm checking in. The gentleman at the reception desk is asking me all the questions about what I need to do. And all of a sudden, somebody walks in behind me. He stops mid-sentence. He shoves a number at me, tells me to go take a seat and wait for my number. And I turn around. And I kid you not, get in some assumptions here, three young, Hispanic, non-English speaking males walked in with a translator. And he whipped around the counter, talked to this translator, and then ushered these folks over to a side room and to deal with them. And my perception was I just got shoved aside so that these illegal aliens, who are probably getting a free ID, are ushered off to a side room and dealt with preferential treatment. Why didn't they want them to come and sit with the general public and wait in line like everybody else?
That's a really interesting question. I can't answer that. There may be a sensible, reasonable answer for that. Now, did the three aliens coming in, the non-English speakers, did they have to take a number and wait like you did or not?
No, and that's my beef.
Oh, okay.
And if I walked in and basically said, I don't have a job or any resources, but I need an ID, will you pay for it? Of course they're not.
That's interesting. You know, Marie, I don't have an answer for that. I'm going to try to see if I can find someone in the know on how that works and if there may be some program that we don't know for the non-English speakers to speed that process. There may be something going on. I can understand you, though, being a little bit perturbed.
Yeah, and the clerk definitely had a sense of urgency, like, okay, I need to deal with these people and get them out of the lobby right away.
Yeah, well, part of it may be that the other person was a state employee, the translator's there, and it's on the clock, and maybe the whole idea is to keep the number of hours spent to a minimum. I could be wrong about that, but, hey, thanks for letting me know about that, all right? 770, I'll try to find out what the story is on something like that. I don't know. 770-5633. Lauren is here too. Hello, Lauren. How are you? Welcome.
Good morning, sir. Yeah, I got sparked by your comments just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, I was talking about the Republican Party from Jackson County. I think some changes were done that were not all that good, and it hasn't been working, I don't think. A PCP guy, aren't you?
I'm a PCP. I was before, and I got very disgusted with them. 4 years ago or so, because there was so much fighting going on.
Right.
So I decided to get back in. And it was my experience. I'm not in leadership at all. The last few days, we did a tremendous job here in Eagle Point to get people elected. And I'm talking about putting out little posters saying who to vote for and passing them around the community. We probably had 8, 10, 12, 14 of us working our neighborhoods here, but I'm thinking what I'm seeing in that regard is something I've not seen before, you know. So that part of it is good.
Yeah, but you see, that was in your local neighborhood. I don't think you're seeing anything like that really coming out of the party.
Right? I don't know the answer to that. All I know is our secretary, the gal who's the secretary, she is a sharp one. Vicky is her first name.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware of her. My concern is that the party is not as hands-on as I think it needs to be in the future too. I mean, I contrast it with the way the Josephine County deal was run. You have a very active chair, very active committees. They're choosing and vetting candidates. They raise money and get money into good candidates' coffers. You know, they look at that. They look at their role as getting Republicans elected and actually in office, and they swept their county. They swept it. Yeah.
No. Well, part of the deal is we didn't have the money. I know when I've gone to my first meeting, they did that big go thing here in town.
Yeah, the MOGA thing.
The MOGA thing. I was out of town. I couldn't even attend that. I was actually in Oklahoma that week. But they raised money, but not enough at all. Maybe $5,000, I think, came out of it when they had spent probably 15 or more. I don't know the numbers. I better not be quoting numbers.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'm not. I don't even want to go into the details about it. But I think that the Republican Party is hurting in Jackson County right now and needs kind of a kick in the pants. That's where I was going. Okay.
And I'll agree with that. I think all of us do.
All right. Appreciate the call there. Thank you for that. Let me go to line three. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Hello?
Bill, would that be me?
Yeah, it sure is. Good morning.
Well, it's Matt.
Oh, hi, Matt.
So, first of all, I'm in Josephine County. The Republican office was a ghost town for the first 25 of the 31 years I lived here. Mm-hmm. Anytime I drove past it, there was never anybody there, no cars in the parking lot, nothing was going on. So I can't speak to what was happening before I got there. But here's what I can say. If you look at Trump's campaign and you see what he was able to do, you had a strong leader who was able to pull in people, and he made it cool by pulling in Elon, Tulsi, Rogan, the bake.
Yeah, could you? By the way, Matt, could you back off your phone just a little bit? It's a little distorted. Okay.
Sure. Yeah. So he made it. He brought in these people and made it cool to be part of MAGA, and that's kind of what happened in Josephine County. We had strong leadership. And you know the old saying, I'm more afraid of a herd of sheep led by a lion than a pride of lions led by a sheep.
Yeah.
And that's who Holly is. And that's who some of the other people are who work in that office. The ladies who were there every day the office is open with a big smile on their face, talking, shaking hands, encouraging people. The progression I noticed, first of all, when something is not moving, it takes time and effort, extreme effort to get it moving. But what happened is you saw people like you described, right? Not the chamber people, but the local people who live there and love their area. They love their county, began to see that somebody cared. Then other people who cared stepped up. Great
yes.
people. I mean, I can't say enough about them. Some of them have now become my best friends. Great people. Then the voters saw somebody cared. Then the voters stepped up. You should have seen, and I wasn't there much, you know, just maybe an hour or two here and there during the day, because I just want to get a sense of what my neighbors were feeling. I'm telling you, some of the greatest people you would ever meet were coming in there, in and out every day, all day, coming up to election time, excited, buying Trump gear, getting T-shirts, supporting the party, you know, people buying a shirt and then giving an extra $10. Mm-hmm. So it all started with people who cared, motivating people who care enough to get involved and actually physically work. And then your neighbors stepped up. And I will tell you, having watched the last couple of days of coverage following the Trump landslide, and there's no doubt that's what it was, that helped Josephine County, because we have a lot of conservative people who live here that had thrown in the towel until people stepped up. And then they got encouraged and say, hey, we can do stuff. My personal opinion, that's the reason we're able to sweep all of those elections and get good, solid conservatives who are actually leading a good, solid conservative county and city.
All I'm saying, too, is that if people are waiting for the Oregon Republican Party, I'm talking about the state group, you know, to reform and strengthen our local parties, it's not going to happen. That has to happen in our local community. And if the local parties don't step up and vet candidates and raise money and be able to help people campaign and do campaign training and all the rest of this stuff, then you end up having the chamber PACs and the Republican caucus in the state legislature, which is not conservative. It has a completely different agenda, in my opinion, than what we're looking for down in Jackson and Josephine County. They end up choosing and vetting the candidates for us. And I don't think it's a good that's a good process. I don't like that. Okay?
No, and I hear what you're saying, and I agree 100%. I will say now that we have a lion and many, many, many other lions leading many, many prides of lions in Josephine County. And that's your winning strategy.
Indeed. All right. Appreciate the call there. Thanks, Matt. 7 after 7, Conspiracy Theory Thursday on the Bill Myers Show. We'll check news from Town Hall here in just a moment. Mr. Outdoors will then join me. We're also going to talk with Dr. Carol Lieberman and see if there's a way to help our fellow citizens who are having difficulty dealing with what happened.
I'm sorry. No!
Wow.
Why do you really hate me that bad?
Yeah, I'm going to keep that bite for a long time. That is just unhinged lady.